In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Mm-hmm, it's true.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the
Once we unlock the door, Alan Adams joined us here in studio. It was not personal, trust me.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, Carrie is trying to simplify here. And
I know, I get it.
Cut down on the traffic, but you're not traffic.
I mean, let's be real. I wouldn't want me in my building either, so I get it.
It's good to see you.
Nice to see you as well.
How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Relatively uneventful as far as those things go.
That's good this time of year.
Yeah,
right?
No, obviously, like, no complaints. Like, just really kept it low-key, which was nice.
Good.
Yeah, it was nice. We didn't really do much of anything.
Man, that's okay. It was cold.
Yeah.
What were you going to do? Go outside? Bah!
Yeah. No, so we spent most of our time inside with Stella and the kitties.
Yeah, how is the menagerie?
Oh, they're good. Growing like weeds.
Yeah.
Everyone is, frankly, staggeringly healthy.
It's good.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Am I right? I thought it was three cats. Is it four?
It's four.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Woof.
Yeah, and they have we actually just had a communication with the rescue here a couple days ago where they were asking if a couple of them might be ready to go into the adoption process, and I think that's probably the case.
Oh, good.
So yeah, well, you know, it's going to be sad to say goodbye to them.
Yeah,
but as Sheridan and I just every once in a while just have to remind each other we cannot have four cats. that's simply not something that we are prepared to deal with.
No.
So, I mean, are we going to wind up with one or two? I mean, that's...
You've had two before.
Yes, we have. Yeah. And, you know, and they're all very sweet. And, you know, and if, you know, someone comes along who really wants them, great. But if, you know, if things stall out, well, if we wind up with a cat or two, I think that'll be okay.
Nice. And Stella's okay with that.
Aloof indifference.
Yeah.
You know, I think she likes them, but she's a little confused by their size, and also has a bordering on unhealthy fascination with cat food.
Oh, really?
Which complicates things. Mm. Well, I think she just likes all manner of wet food. I think it just smells very delicious to her.
Ginger's fascinated with what comes out the other end of the cats.
Yep. No, Stella's pretty good about not the delicious poop flavored candy.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a positive.
Oh, yeah,
for
that's
sure.
Good. Definitely.
We don't have to deal with that. But yeah, no, it's good. You know, and I spent some time each afternoon this weekend just sort of laying down and just being covered in cats, and there's something very soothing about that.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. All right, well, let's talk movies. What have we got on the docket this week?
Well, we got a couple this week. We have a very good, surprisingly good, actually, streaming offering from Netflix called We Have a Ghost.
Ooh.
that I very much enjoyed. And then, obviously, we're going to talk about Cocaine Bear.
Oh, did you saw it?
Oh, I sure did. Me and a lot of other people, apparently.
Yeah, blew Ant-Man right out of the water, I guess.
Oh, man. And but I'll tell you, like, I went to a mid-afternoon show on Saturday at the cinemas out by the mall. I was stunned by how many people were at this screening. Like, it was just one of those things where it's like, oh, okay. So whatever marketing they were doing or whatever, it really worked because there were a ton of people there. And Scott, the manager over there, actually spoke to me as I was going. When I told him what I was going to see, he's like, yeah, it's doing really well.
Wow.
And I'm just like, oh, okay. Well, you know, Cocaine Bear. Who knew?
All right. You want to start with that then?
I mean, like... Look, I'm, let's get the other one out of the way.
Okay.
Simply because we're going to spend some time on Cocaine Bear. Yeah, We Have a Ghost. It's streaming on Netflix. Stars Anthony Mackie and David Harbour. It's a great role for Harbour for reasons that we will discuss soon. But yeah, basically, it's a very simple premise. A family from Chicago. You know, Anthony Mackie plays the patriarch. Father, mother, two sons. One about to go to college. One, you know, like a 13 or 14. moved to this fixer-upper house in Chicago. And, well, we'll keep it simple. It turns out there's a ghost. The youngest son is exploring the house, poking around in the attic, and that's when he meets Ernest. That would be David Harbour, the ghost, who immediately tries to scare him away, but by doing traditional ghost-type things, which the young man, far from being scared, actually finds rather amusing and winds up filming it with his phone. Then his brother sees the video, and then it gets put online, and everyone is like, oh, you know, how did you do that, blah blah blah. And then as people slowly start to realize, oh no, that's a real ghost, there's a real ghost in the attic, and so they start dealing with the dad is a bit of a hustler, and so he's trying to figure out a way to cash in, starts reaching out to various local media outlets. He winds up doing an encounter with a TV psychic, played by the wonderful Jennifer Coolidge. She's in for like one scene, but just like basically shows up, throws 103 for 4 minutes and then is out. And it's just like, oh, yeah. And we've talked about this. Anytime you want your movie to be like 15% better, just put Jennifer Coolidge in it. Doesn't even matter what she's doing.
Right.
Just let her show up and cook. and then that sort of causes an explosion of interest, which draws the attention of the CIA, often happens.
Hmm.
Namely, the resurrection of an old operation called Wizard Clip, that was intended to figure out ways to utilize and perhaps weaponize ghosts. A project led by a scientist played by Tig Notaro, who I'm pretty sure has some sort of deal with Netflix because she just keeps turning up in these Netflix movies. I mean, good for her. Get them checks.
Yes.
And then hijinks ensue. Because here's the thing, and the central plot point is, apparently ghosts can't talk.
Oh.
David Harbour, who you've brought in to be your ghost, never says a word.
Wow.
He makes some noises, yep, and he mouths some stuff, but he never talks. But we do get some ghostly hijinks and whatnot. But as it turns out, ghosts that are born of deep trauma can't necessarily remember anything about their past. And so the young man and eventually some of his friends start trying to figure out a way to help Ernest figure out how he died, you know, who he is, where he came from, et cetera, et cetera.
Huh.
It's very funny. Harbour is it shouldn't surprise me, but he's a very good physical comedian. So he's really able to sort of endow this character with all this wonderful slapstick, but also a lot of nuance, which is great. But it's just, you know, it's goofy and fun. It gets a little weird and dark for a stretch when the CIA starts doing CIA stuff. But for the most part, it's got a horror-kissed buddy comedy kind of thing that really worked for me. Like, I thought it was really funny. The performances were really solid. Not a great movie. Not a particularly, not a movie that you're going to, remember 10 years from now. But, like, as far as entertainment goes, you could do a lot worse.
Nice. Alan Adams talking movies with us on Downtown. Probably like you, when I first heard about Cocaine Bear months ago, whenever it was, I laughed. I thought, okay, it's going to be awful. And then you started hearing about who was involved, from Ray Liotta to Elizabeth Banks directing. And then when you finally got to see the trailer, you realize this had the potential to be not just fun and not just a hit, but I think maybe like a cultural phenomenon.
See, it's the easy comp, I think, for people was Snakes on a Plane.
Yes, yes.
I get it. This movie is so much better than Snakes on a Plane. It's not like we're not talking like a so bad it's good kind of movie.
Right.
Like it's a very well made, well structured, well thought out B movie. Like called an elevated B movie, mm-hmm, if you want to. But it's no one can, no, you can't see air quotes on the radio, but it's based on a true story. That basically boils down to the fact that there was, in fact, a bear that got into some cocaine, and that's where the similarities end. End of true story. But yeah, so the basic gist is it's 1985, and a drug mule is basically trying to it's not clear if the plane's going down or what, but you've got a guy throwing duffel bags full of cocaine out the side door of an airplane, and he is also on cocaine, which presents some issues when he accidentally knocks himself out when he's jumping out of the plane to follow the cocaine. So all the cocaine winds up in Chattahoochee, Georgia, and our erstwhile drug mule winds up a smear in a driveway somewhere in Tennessee. So cocaine falls into the forest in and around the aptly named Blood Mountain State Park. and a bear gets into it. And then the bear gets into it.
Yeah, likes it a lot.
Yes. And from there, we're off to the races. So we find out very quickly that the drugs were being shipped at the behest of a Colombian cartel by a drug dealer named Ray. A drug dealer named Sal, played by Ray Liotta, in his final role.
Oh, man.
You know what? Honestly, I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know that Ray's got a problem going out like that, because he's clearly having a ball.
Oh, good,
and that's the
good
thing. Everybody in this movie is clearly having a ball. So our drug dealer enlists one of his lieutenants, a gentleman by the name of David, played by O'Shea Jackson Jr., Ice Cube's kid, and he's like, you know what? Take my son with you. He's still struggling with the death of his wife, and we need him to he needs to snap out of it. We need to get him back into the family business. So David goes and gets Eddie, played by Alden Ehrenreich, and they head off to Georgia to try and find. The Colombian cocaine that is in the woods. Meanwhile, we've got a young girl named Dee Dee, played by Brooklyn Prince, who is...
Brooklyn Prince, friend of Downtown.
Yeah.
She was on the show a few years ago.
Yeah. She's at home. Her single mom is a nurse, played by Carrie Russell.
Wow.
So Dee Dee decides she's gonna cut school and go, because she wants to paint a picture of this waterfall in the state park. So she and her little goofball buddy cut school and head off to the park. At the park, that's where we meet the park ranger, played exquisitely by the always wonderful Margot Martindale.
Oh my God!
Where we also meet. The local do-gooder forest ecologist, played by Jesse Tyler Ferguson, best known as Mitchell from Modern Family, all the while we're getting glimpses of this bear wrecking havoc throughout this park, and all these different people start coming together. A Tennessee police officer who comes to investigate the death of the guy who fell out of the sky. That's Isaiah Wright Jr. The hits just keep coming with the cast. And so all these people are converging. There's also, and it's such a ridiculous joke, and it has very little bearing on the overall scheme of the movie. But apparently, they just threw in this group of teen toughs who just wander around the park picking fights and trying to stab hikers. The park ranger calls them pop art punks because they call themselves the Duchamps, Marcel Duchamp. And nice. I'm like, that hits. I start laughing hysterically. I look around. Nobody else is laughing. And I'm like, this is the one joke that Sheridan needed to be here for. and then we're all in the woods, and then the bear just starts just brutally mauling all of these people in surprisingly graphic ways. And so single mom trying to find her kid, drug dealers trying to find drugs, you know, cop trying to catch drug dealers, random art punks wandering around. There's a park ranger who's in love with the wildlife biologist, but he doesn't know. And then every once in a while, someone gets part of themselves like just torn off by a bear that is just hopped up on cocaine. It can't be stressed enough. There are few movies that I've ever seen that have been as true to their title as this one, because you know what? That bear has, there's some cocaine in that bear, and it just keeps, it just keeps finding more and getting on more cocaine. And as it turns out, when a bear's on cocaine, he wants to fight. And so we get a lot of, you know, bits torn off and, lots of really splattery, like almost Sam Raimi-y kind of moments where it's just like this brutal, gory moment played for laughs. And it works. Like it really, yeah. really works. It's so funny and so like surprisingly smart. Let's be real. It's like 90 minutes long. Like you're like it's in and out. Like yeah. this is not a movie that is going to belabor the point. It is like you don't have to do any homework to see this movie. There's nothing you needed to see beforehand. There's nothing you need to see afterwards. It's like it's right there in the title. The bear is on cocaine. At one point I'm just sitting there and like the only thing I can think of in my head is the sentence. Do you have any idea the street value of this bear is? Because Curtis Armstrong was on the show a little while ago, and I'm just like, oh yeah, no, that bear is so full of cocaine. The effects work is surprisingly good. There are a couple of moments, obviously, but it's just like
it's the bear is CGI,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. But very well done. Considering how much we see of it, like it's really handled beautifully. But again, the key to all of this is just this remarkable cast. It's really stunning to watch a movie that is so like just ridiculous on its face, and to have all these talented people sort of get it. Like everyone knows what kind of movie they're in,
right,
and play it. They play it accordingly, and it's so well done. It's so well executed. It's one of those things where. I find myself wondering just how big a weirdo is Elizabeth Banks? Because this is a woman. She has three feature length directing credits to her name. Pitch Perfect 2.
Yep.
In 2015, the Charlie's Angels remake in 2019, and now Cocaine Bear. And all I'm just sitting here. I'm like, man, I really need to know what movie she's gonna make in 2027
right,
because
right.
I don't know, like. Are do Cocaine Bear and Pitch Perfect happen in the same universe? It's 1985. Like, who knows? Who knows how this might play out? But yeah, like it's one of those movies where like if you can see it in a theater, great. Go with friends, get rowdy. Like it's that kind of movie.
Right.
It invites that kind of like engaged response. Again, like I mean, it's not gonna win any Oscars. I mean, it probably should, but it's not going to. But like, I just, it's just so refreshing to have, you know, especially in a stretch of the calendar where it's all IP, like, and it's all sequels. Mm. Like, you know, next month we see like a lot of just huge like blockbuster movies, but they all have numbers at the end of their, you know, or subtitles or like they're all coming from something else. And to just have this wonderful little ridiculous gem just sort of dropped into our laps.
Without giving anything away, could there be a sequel?
Oh, there 100% could be. I believe I saw something alluding to the fact that they're already on it.
I love it.
Look, man, if you're going to give me a Cocaine Bear cinematic universe, like, let's go. Giddy up. Because, yeah. Again, I can't stress it enough. The bear is on cocaine, and everyone knows the bear is on cocaine, And well, they mostly deal with it like you or I would were we to be confronted with a bear on cocaine. So the verisimilitude, I think, is really pretty astonishing, considering it's a ridiculous movie about, again, a cocaine bear. Yes, so anyone out there listening, if you were on the fence about seeing this movie, and I can't imagine such a person exists, mm-hmm. like it's one of those things where you're in or you're out, but I'll just tell you, if you're in, you're making the right decision, because, it's just... You know, it's 1985 all over again. You know, you just, you know, do a little, you know, head into the bathroom, do a couple bumps, and sit down and enjoy yourself some cocaine bear.
There you go. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
Next week, I assume, will be our annual look at the Oscars.
Yeah, we'll talk Oscars for sure.
All right. Excellent. Well, you have a good week.
You too.
Alan Adams talking movies.